Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday, the day after Father's Day, and thank you all for allowing us to invade your ear space for the next 30 minutes. We have a wonderful guest who's been on the show before, so she knows the game of drive-through HR, I would say. Brian is not with us today. It's Nisha and I. And so we're going to kind of marshal on without him today. So, without any further ado, Cindy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's sunny outside. I love seeing the sun. So today is going to be a great day because I can see the sun. Do us a favor and introduce yourself. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. My name is Cindy Travella. I am married and live about 30 minutes north of Cincinnati. I've worked in the field of employment branding, HR marketing, communications, and sourcing strategy for 15 years and have had the privilege of working for two great agencies and some wonderful clients during that time. Prior to that, I worked in corporate human resources as a training and development coordinator. I've been a board director for a couple of different groups. One is a nonprofit group called Support Kansas City, and I was also a board director for the Society for Human Resource Management in Kansas City. And I'm currently serving as a task force committee member for the Society for Human Resources Management, HR Standards Workforce Planning Group. That was a mouthful. I'm also working part-time right now with Megan M. Barrow and Kevin W. Grossman as their events director for their T-Chat shows. And I'm one of the co-founders of another Twitter chat called OMC Chat, along with my partners, Steve Levy and Tom Bolt.
Wonderful. Well, Cindy, what's keeping you up at night these days? I know a lot of things going on in your mind. You have your job, and then you have our T-Chat, but still, when it comes to employer branding perspective or you are at your organization, what generally keeps you up at night?
Yeah. I've been working as a volunteer with job seekers for the past 6 years with a couple of different groups. And what I have heard for the past 5 years from job seekers about the struggles and the anxiety and the difficulties that they find with their job search and with trying to work with companies as a job seeker, I have recently found out to be very true since I have been a job seeker now for a while, looking for a full-time position. And one of the things that I find a little startling is that many companies want to say that they're an employer of choice, and they, I believe that they want to do the right thing, but there's a lot of things that are just not right with the way that companies are working with and interacting with and communicating with job seekers.
Great. So what do you see, like, we have this Twitter chat, and that is one of the foremost, an interesting platform where recruiters can come together, HR professionals can come together. Well, at the same time, job seekers can exhibit their knowledge and skills. But how do you see Tutor as a platform to find, search, and connect with talent?
Yeah, I do know many recruiters who use Twitter as a sourcing tool to find candidates. I think there are some organizations out there that are improving Twitter as a platform for job seekers and for companies that are hiring by offering more information outside of the 140 characters, by creating better hashtags so job seekers can find these opportunities, especially when it comes to technology positions. I don't think we're quite there yet. I wouldn't endorse Twitter 100% as a sourcing tool or as a tool for job seekers, but I do see it is improving. And, you know, as long as we keep pushing that needle to make improvements, it's always encouraging.
So as it relates to both chats that you're involved with, if you don't mind, because I think there's still kind of a reluctance of people to kind of join in and to get some value out of chats. You either have these people on one end of the spectrum that really love it, and then you have people on the other end that you meet that, you know, they can't get involved, they can't see it, they can't see the value, it seems like this, that, and the other stuff. Do us a favor and kind of unwind that a little bit and tell us, here's what you get when you go to a chat, a Twitter chat especially. Here's kind of what the value is. Here's what you get.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the chat, of course. Different chats have different value. T-Chat, for example, is all centered around the world of work. So it has a very broad reach. Topics tend to be more HR-related, but they also spread out into other areas of an organization that touch other people, so not exclusively human resource-oriented. It's a great place to network. It's a great place to meet people for the first time, if you will. It's a great place to learn. I, myself, became involved with T-Chat when it originated a few years ago, because it was more of a learning platform for me. It was a great way to learn more about topics that I didn't know enough about. And since the guests that are on the show have such a tremendous expertise on their topic, you really get a lot of value out of that. And then, of course, it's a great place to network and meet people. And, you know, that was wonderful. The other chat that I'm involved in, OMC Chat, which is Open Mic Career Chat, that I do along with Steve and Tom Bolt, is really more focused on helping job seekers and not helping them to, you know, we don't post jobs and do that kind of thing. It's more about getting a group of people together who are concerned about the state of unemployment and helping people to better themselves in their job search. So it's all about tips and best practices and ideas. And that information doesn't just come from us. It comes from everyone who is participating in the chat. So, you know, we have HR folks. We have job seekers, even some passive job seekers. We have a lot of people lurking. We have found out behind the scenes who aren't participating. So really, when people get on a chat, you have to kind of keep in mind, this is what I want to get out of it. I'm looking for ideas on how to better my job search, or I'm looking to network, or I'm looking to do some informal learning. So it's, you know, it's not as scary or as tragic as some people think it is. It's really, I find it very enjoyable. To me, there's also a little bit of an entertainment value there.
All right. So you're an employer brand expert, and you're in the midst of a job search, which is both interesting and compelling on so many levels, because you're going to learn all kinds of interesting thing now from the candidate's perspective. So if you don't mind, and, you know, maybe we can help, take us into your job search. What are you looking for? How do you evaluate firms? How is the hiring process, recruitment process? How does that all kind of look from the candidate's perspective? How is that looking, et cetera?
Yeah. Well, looking at it from the perspective of a job candidate, it is interesting. I get a real bird's eye view of what's going out there for job seekers. It's difficult. It certainly is. I do believe that the job market has opened up a bit for certain positions, depending on if it's something in the if it's healthcare related or if it's in the technology realm. There are lots of opportunities there. It is interesting interacting with companies as someone who's done employment branding for the past 15 years. Communication is certainly something that a lot of companies may want to step up and improve. It is something that I've heard a lot from job seekers in the past 6 years, and I have to concur with them. Communication is something that is lacking. For me, myself, when I am conducting a job search, I really do my homework, and I would advise all job seekers to do that too. Really do your research on the company. Try to find people that you may know who have worked there, or if you know someone who knows someone who has worked there, try to connect with them to get some dialogue established. Definitely check out every facet of the company, even down to financials, current press releases, information about their chief executive officer, and about all of the C-suite individuals. Learn more about the culture of the company, and the best way to do that is to try to find people who have worked there or know people who have worked there. I use sources like LinkedIn and Glassdoor to also help me do some research on companies. So there's a lot of information out there, and I think it's important for job seekers to really put it into perspective. You're going to read some good things, you're going to read some bad things, and you have to decide for yourself what's important to you, because the grass is green on either side of the fence. You just have to decide which flavor of grass it is that you want to be eating at that moment, and take all of the information, summarize it, and try to get your mind wrapped around it and make a decision as to which company has a culture that would be a great fit for you.
So do you, and this is the psyche of knowing too much almost, but basically do you judge folks based on what you, not just what you read and hear and all that other stuff, but even just their process? So you go to their career page or you find a job that you're interested in, then you go to the career page and it's not anything that you would have liked 5 years ago, much less recommended to clients 5 years ago. And so do you judge them based on that, or you just kind of force your way past that emotionally to, no, I'm not going to judge them based on what they're doing well or not doing well in the candidate experience. I'm going to go ahead and push through that, because no one's going to be perfect. So I'm going to go ahead and push through that. So tell us kind of how you look at companies and how, because of what you know, either that helps you or not.
Yeah. Actually, it does help me, sometimes not to the betterment of the company. But, yeah, I do look at those things, William. I look at their career site. I look at their presence overall. How much information do they include about their organization? Do they have a career site? So in this day and age, there are companies who do not have a career site. Now, as somebody who's been doing employment branding and HR marketing communications for 15 years, I find that amazing. But it is true that there are some that don't. So I look at all of that. I also look at, the application process. How arduous is it? And I understand why companies use applicant tracking systems. I'm a proponent of using applicant tracking systems. I've always have advised my clients that they should have one. It's a great database for them. However, I also find that many companies don't go back to their applicant tracking system and use it as a source as a sourcing tool, and they really should. It's it's interesting when I go to a company's career site and I find there is little to no information about the organization's culture. They don't use video. They don't talk about any type of best practices. They don't do anything outwardly in the community that involves getting their employees involved. It happens. Those companies aren't necessarily the right company for me, but again, you know, the grass is green for everybody. It just depends on what flavor of grass you want to eat. So there are companies like that out there that may be a good fit for other people. So again, you have to take it all into perspective, take all the information, kind of summarize it and decide, is this a company where I would want to work or not? One of the things that I look at also is what companies have products or services that I like and that I use, and that I enjoy using. Those are companies that I definitely go to their career sites and their websites, and I look to find out more information about them. I go to Glassdoor to find out more information about them and LinkedIn. I think companies that don't have a presence on LinkedIn are not doing themselves a favor. Thank goodness most companies do have a presence on LinkedIn today. From what LinkedIn tells us, somewhere between 96 and 98% of companies in the United States have a presence on that, on their pages, and they should. So, you know, those are things that I do when I look at, you know, job opportunities and companies. And, you know, sometimes it does surprise me when I get there and I see what they have or not have to offer.
Great. Well, as you are an employer branding expert, you know what's the importance of candidate experience, and you know what's the importance of representing the employer brand to the candidates and to the public as well. So what have you seen, I mean, throughout your job search experience, what is some experience that is really killing that candidate experience that you have expected, but it's not there, something wrong, and that communication gap is there? Have you ever had such experience throughout your job experience?
Yeah. I mean, I've had good experiences, and I've had some that were not as favorable. And usually the ones that are not as favorable are those that are lacking communication. And, you know, that's – and it's not just – something that I'm experiencing. I would say most of the job seekers that I know who are going through the rigors of finding work are experiencing the same thing. So this is something that it isn't any one or two particular companies that are doing this. It's a number of them. And I know some of the reasons why. You know, there's a lot of work for everybody today. It isn't just a matter of, you know, when somebody's recruiting, it isn't just a matter of, you know, looking at a few resumes and making a few phone calls. There's a lot of work, a lot of behind the scenes. There's a lot of effort that goes into properly interviewing and hiring people, and it's time-consuming. And I think that's the thing that, where companies get caught up, the lack of time. And I also think that there's a lack of expertise out there. Recruiting is the first touch point in the candidate experience. And when that individual is not well-trained or well-versed or doesn't understand the employment value proposition of their organization, doesn't understand good brand ambassadorship, well, unfortunately, if that being the first contact, that is not putting a good foot forward for the organization. Good candidates, people who are in demand, they know who they are. They know what skills they have and that those skills are currently being sought after highly by very good companies who will respect them as a job candidate and will pay them appropriately and have great benefits and offer a very sound culture to them as part of their offerings. So, you know, those candidates, and I think years ago we called them the A players or the A talent. You know, those individuals know who they are, and yeah, they're going to be a little more particular about the companies that they work for. They're going to definitely be doing their homework. They're going to be sought after, and they're going to have a lot of contact from companies and employers, from recruiters. So it is really important, just getting back to my comments about recruiters, that they really need to be buttoned up, understand your company's employment value proposition, understand that you're the first touch point, and that brand ambassadorship as the first touch point is extremely important.
All right, let's switch the gear and talk about employer branding. I mean, the behind the scene, because you have been in that HR role and you have been in that marketing role, I mean, HR and marketing. So let's talk about the work that goes into building that employer brand as you are collaborating with HR and marketing. So how do you, what are some tips and techniques that you can share to our audience while building their employer brand in a way that they have to collaborate with their marketing team as well?
Yeah. Marketing and human resources, they share a lot in common. When a company is recruiting talent for their organization, they are, in a sense, marketing. They are marketing positions, marketing culture, marketing the organization itself, so very much like what the people are doing in the other department. Marketing holds the bigger brand for the organization, more of what's consumer or product-focused, where human resources, the human resources area is focusing on the employer or the employment brand, as it's called sometimes. So there is, you know, the two entities, but there is an overlap, and that intersection where they overlap, that's where the commonality comes in. And, you know, I truly believe that consumers are a great resource for companies to go to, not only for the benefit of buying their products and services, but also for engaging with these individuals and explaining what their organization is like above and beyond from the product or service perspective. And I know that the smart companies out there are looking at their consumers and thinking, this is a great resource for us to go to do some talent selection. These individuals are already engaged with us in that they're using our products or services, and they are aware of us as an organization. So, you know, it's really important. And I have a friend, actually, who she is 100% on board with this, and I absolutely agree with her that it is a great resource for companies to go to their consumer base and start looking at those individuals as potential candidates. But you can't just go right in and, you know, start soliciting with jobs. You have to engage with these people, build a rapport, develop a relationship. It's like anything. It's like, just like social media. When companies dive in and they try to start recruiting people before those individuals even know who they are or what they do, it's going to fail. So there's got to be a step process in place where you know, communication, very important, engagement, relationship building all falls into place first.
What are some of the examples that you've seen through the years, and whether or not you can name the clients or not, but true collaborations between marketing and HR where you've seen, you know, it's like getting Democrats and Republicans to, you know, to coexist around some particular issue, and brand is that issue, right? So how do you get these folks?
Mm-hmm.
If you could give the audience some examples of where you've seen it work.
Yeah, I actually have seen it work in a lot of instances. For the most part, the marketing departments at my client companies, they've understood the value of the employment brand. And for the most part, my clients in the human resources departments as well. It's difficult for one department to potentially interact with the other when it comes to branding. You know, everybody wants to take ownership, so to speak. I personally believe that employment branding should sit in the human resources department. However, that said, I also believe that marketing should have involvement with the employment brand. I've been very fortunate to have clients who have understood that. I do know of other instances in talking with other people who do what I do, where there have been difficulties. But I think as long as there is a level of respect for what the other department is doing and an understanding of what the other department is doing, and for the most part, my clients in the marketing departments, they've not tried to take ownership of the employment brand. They understand that that belongs in the human resources department, but they also understand that, you know, they need to be involved. There is that, again, that intersection, that overlap of commonality where the two will intersect. So I would say I've not really, experienced a lot of difficulties with my clients in that way, and that's a good thing.
Great. So let's talk about the investment or ROI, the bigger factor, right? So what are some metrics that you would like to share among our audience to measure the employer brand?
Yeah. I don't have exact numbers here in front of me, but I will say that companies that have certain programs in place are generally going to be more successful. Companies that have an employee referral program, for example, and many companies understand that that's a very valuable program and one that's going to garner them some great new talent coming into their organization. Companies that have onboarding programs, very, very important. When companies onboard new employees, there should be a predefined number of touch points during the course of that person's employment. And it's important for companies to keep re-recruiting their employees if they want to keep them. So companies that have that type of a program in place are generally going to sustain more long-term employees than companies who don't. Companies that have a solid employment branding program in place, and I'm going to call it a program because it's more of a platform actually, and it's the foundation upon which everything else is going to sit. So all of your communications and all of the other programs like employee referral and onboarding, for example, they're going to sit on the employment branding platform. And that's going to offer a lot of stability. When companies understand their employment value proposition, they're better able to communicate that internally as well as externally.
Great. Well, Cindy, always a delight to have you on our show. It's been a fantastic conversation. And where can people connect with you, come and find you, and find out more details about TChat and OMC Chat?
Yeah. We can be found at hashtag TChat and hashtag OMC Chat. I can be found on Twitter at Cindy, C-Y-N-D-Y, Travella, and I'm on LinkedIn under my formal name, Cynthia Travella, and I'm also on Facebook.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Cindy. And we look forward to having you again on the show. And William. Thank you so much.
Early in the morning, rising to the street. Light me up that cigarette, and I'll strap shoes on my feet. Got to find a reason.